what has been your communication up to this point with James? And obviously we know now he's here practicing. Can you kind of take us through the timeline of getting here?
Yeah, I mean, nothing's really, you know, James and his representatives and Kevin Meagink, myself, you know, speaking kind of for both of us, because sometimes Kevin's having the conversation with him, sometimes it's me, sometimes it's just an email, whatever it is. But no, when James came in for the mandatory camp, you know, we spoke. We've always had a good relationship, and as I've said all along, I love James Cook. I want nothing more. You know how I am. I want to draft, develop, re-sign our own. It is a business. We have to fit it in, not only cash, but cap, and sometimes it's not. You can look at it and say, well, you know, you go to this website or whatever, they could fit him in if they did this and this, but we also have to look at 26, 27, and beyond, because you can walk yourself into one of those years where you're like, oh, man, there's not a lot of guys we can take down in those years. We would have to trade or cut someone that we wouldn't want to lose. So it's not only 2025 when we're doing a deal with him or any other player. So all those things have to make sense for us to fit it in. But love James. You know, he looks good. You can tell he's been working. I thought he looked good in June camp. And I think everyone knows I'm going to have an open dialogue with you know, the players. That's just who I am. And we'll let the business take care of itself.
What does it say to you that he's here on the field doing every drill? I mean, there's people out there, even last night, national reporters saying, well, he could hold in or something like that. He's here, he's doing everything. What does it say to you?
James is a competitive dude. He's a stud. He's a great teammate. Like, he wants to be here. He loves ball. So many of the things that we learned about James through the scouting process, and it's been fun to watch him grow and mature on and off the field. He's got a calmness to him. Of course, who doesn't want to get paid? And that's the hard part of this job is I do want to pay them all. I mean, I really do, especially the ones that they're working hard, they're producing on the field, their teammates love them, the fans love them. Like, James fits Buffalo, but sometimes, you know, you can't get on the same page, or sometimes you're trying to fit it in, or, you know, there's times guys have left here that we really wanted. We just couldn't make it work. But I can tell you, I'm hopeful when we're sitting here at next year's training camp that James Cook is out there practicing, you know, and still representing the red, white, and blue.
You've drafted a lot of guys on defense. This is like another step in the offseason, big step. What's it like for you to watch them out there first day of camp? You know, a big group of guys you brought in.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. It's different here, when I say here, not in Rochester, in 2025 because of the rules. I mean, I was literally talking with Ryan Nielsen yesterday. We were talking about even how the conditioning test has changed, where these guys come off vacation and they're running like 16 to 20 gassers. And then the next morning, I mean, I remember with John Fox, like, these guys would go down and John would have like a goal line period at some point the first day of practice. I mean, these guys were on a beach 5 days ago potentially, and now they're clashing. So it's for the better. You know, it's kind of an extension of OTA's mandatory camp, but it's good to have everybody. It's a different purpose when you're here. Guys know it's, you know, I'm closing in on kind of the first big test, which is preseason game one. Even the red and blue game that we do over there, we do some live stuff to simulate game type situations.
How concerned are you with Dawson Knox and Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you'd love to have, we got 91, you'd love to have all 91 fresh, ready to go. Dawson was training the other day and tweaked it. He knows his body, and so he'll do everything. And he knows this offense. He knows this team. He and Josh have a great rapport together. So, you know, until he's back out there, you always have some concern, but I feel that the medical team and him have a good idea of what it's going to take, and hopefully get him back out there sooner rather than later. And Spencer, the same, you know, back flared up a little bit on him. We want to be cautious. You know, it's always different now versus in season. Now you're going to try to be more cautious. You get in season, you're like, hey, I think I can get him out. I think I can get out there. Maybe I can only do a Friday practice and play in the game. So I think we have to realize it's July the, whatever it is, 23rd today. let's don't rush something and constantly have a setback. So hopefully we'll get him back out there soon.
Jarvis said he was finding his language going to mic'd up. You were mic'd up. How do you dealt with that? And how do you think this team deals with the additional scrutiny?
The good thing, John, is I don't have to worry about my language ever. You know that, right? No, it's, you know, we want to be, you know, with this thing, you know, we're always doing stuff mic'd up. It's the way of the world. So I think you're kind of used to it in some ways. And I think, as you guys know, our team, the Buffalo Bills, we want to be authentic. We got nothing to hide. We want to make this a very positive experience. And will there be an intrusive thing here or there? Of course, but it's all in the preseason, and I don't expect any issues or anything like that. And we'll all work together and make sure it's a good product for our fans. That's what we want. It's an inside look at our team, our staff, and how we do things and how we develop a team, how we pare down a roster to go play hopefully a 17-plus game season.
How does this get you better? I mean, it could. The worst case, best case scenario is it's not a distraction. Worst case, it is a distraction. How does this get this team better?
Well, there's always things, John. I mean, I think, I think coming out here with fans is good because you're competing. People are cheering. I mean, and guys, I don't care who it is. I don't care if your parents are out there or your neighbors out there watching you play pickup basketball. You don't want them to think you're a loser or that you got beat on a rep. And so you're going to play your you-know-what off every day. And so sometimes, you know, when we had the years we couldn't come here due to COVID, those were long stretches from when we reported to camp till the first game. And so I think it's good here that we have fans. It keeps it fresh. Guys are coming out there, and they don't want to lose. And you see guys celebrating the end zone like it's a real game, whether the offense or defense made a play.
What was it like navigating the negotiation with T.J. Sanders, given the holding pattern with second-round picks, and your reaction to getting that deal done in time for him to be on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important. He's technically the first holdout we've had since I've been here, even though it was just while we were working out. And, I busted his agent's chops. I said, of course you had to do this. I was trying to keep a clean record here. But Drew Rosenhaus, we've had a long-time relationship, and it was tough. You know, I think the union was, you know, putting a lot of stipulations on the agents to meet some certain markers with the fourth-year guarantee and the percentages and where they wanted them to go. But, you know, he and Kevin Meegink did a great job and got it done. And TJ was in Buffalo, which was great. Sometimes these guys are somewhere else. You got to get them on the plane. We got it done last Thursday night at, 9:30, and TJ was, texting me at 7 a.m. I'm in the building. Tell me when you're ready to come up and sign this thing and roll. So glad to have him, and he did a good job this summer of keeping himself ready to go and ready for an NFL training camp.
It's been a couple years since we've seen a fully healthy Trey White at camp. You know, he wasn't here last year. Then before that, you know, he's rehabbing from injuries. What's it like for you to see him out there fully healthy, you know, being himself?
Yeah, I think I find myself as a fan today. Trey made a play, I think it was on Elijah Moore, and knocked the ball down, and he came back over there and was standing to me, and I don't ever cheer for either side. I'm just kind of watching it, but I was like, I see you 2-7, and he was like, man, it's good to be home. I'm around family, and it resonates with you. Like, we're all more comfortable when we're around people, you know, we trust and we enjoy being around, and I think Trey, embodies that, and, you know, the business part, we were talking about it with James, the business part stinks sometimes. It really does. We did not want to part ways with Trey White for any reason last year, but the business got in the way. We had to get our cap in order and make a lot of tough moves, including Trey. But it's fun to see him. I see him confident. I bet you he's going to, I'm never going to bet against Trey White. I bet you we're going to consistently see him continue to do that. And he knows there's good competition, too, that, you know, that brings out the best in all of us. So it's going to be fun to watch. You know, the DBs. Obviously, Christian has solidified himself over there. But it's going to be fun. And if something happens to one of them, I feel we've got a good group whoever it is that doesn't win that starting job opposite him will be ready when their number's called.
Where do you stand if punter made a move yesterday and have one right now, but you can stick with one, or where do things stand there?
Yeah, we hated to make the move. I wanted to continue that with Jake, you know, and unfortunately, due to some of the injuries that Josh asked me about a while ago, you know, your hand kind of gets forced. You're trying to prevent a domino effect of getting thin. In that case, we signed a tight end. And so, you know, you're looking, where do you get a spot? And you don't get a freebie. So that's where we had to go. Doesn't mean we wouldn't bring him back at some point. And I think Brad knows that. Like, Brad knows he's still got to compete and show his best and earn that spot here.
Hey, Brandon, last year you set a franchise record for points. No sacks, no turnovers. But what can the offense do to be better? What do you think has to happen to make it even better?
That's a great question. You know, I don't know what's – I mean, maybe we didn't connect on as many deep balls. You know, we took some shots, but that may be an area. But, I mean, if you can – it's hard to replicate those few turnovers and to score that many points. Usually when you're scoring points, you're ripping the ball around, and there's going to be some tip balls, some – you know, a sack fumble here or there. And, you know, what Joe Brady and Josh and all of our offense did with the ball was remarkable. You know, that's, we can't expect that. You know, we hope it's there from lack of turnovers this year, but, you know, sometimes the ball bounces your way too. And I think, you know, it did for the most part, but I think you just continue to hone in on the skill, on the fine tuned details. Be as balanced as we can. You know, I thought we were pretty balanced last year, but be as balanced. We got some new pieces that we've added, and a Josh Palmer, Elijah Moore, same running backs. You know, the tight ends, we added a Jackson Halls to the group. But there's a lot of stability, but there's still a few new pieces. And, you know, hopefully Keon will take off in year two. Curtis Samuel was a little dinged up a little bit. Thought he had a good spring. Hopefully all that, if we can get continuity there, you know, we can come out of the gates fast.
Hey, Brandon, is something you've noticed about the maturity that Josh Allen is bringing into his eighth season?
Yeah, I mean, he's I was literally talking to Ronald Curry a while ago. One of, you know, Josh, as we know, is super competitive, and, you know, there's always, we don't have officials out here. We do a little bit, but there's not a lot of flags, and there's probably some tugs on some plays that are incomplete that, you know, as a quarterback, he wants to complete those, and, you know, you see him giving a little sign, but he's not like mouthing back. You know, he's kind of like, I know I would have got that in there. The refs would have called that if he did that. You see a calm, confident dude. He knows what he has to do in the off season. He's always prepared when he shows up. He's not coming here unprepared. And I think his teammates, when he's in the huddle, you know, they're as calm as ever, just having Josh Allen in there.
Brandon, has anything changed from the team perspective on Maxwell Harrison with the civil suit from earlier this month?
No. You know, Catherine, it's frustrating. I think I reiterated that after the draft. It's frustrating because, you know, in the legal world, you can't sit there and say things back and forth. You got to let it go. But this happened to this young man, you know, over 4 years ago. He gave up his phone, like, to prove some of his... He took a polygraph test. Like, this kid didn't run from anything. He answered every single thing. We did that. We have to remember in society that people can make accusations and do things, and I have no idea what the agenda is there, but I can tell you every stone we turned over, every door we looked behind, this is a very good young man. A young man you would let in your house, you would let watch your kids, hang out with whoever. Like, he is genuinely a good person. He's got sisters. He's got a mother. He's got a great family, raised the right way. I've met his parents. I've met his close family. You know, I would feel terrible if that someone said that about one of my sons. And I think we need to remember in the world, like, sometimes these guys, I'm not going to get into it, but we see these accusations. Sometimes these guys can be victims too. They make a lot of money. And I just want to make sure, rarely do people defend them. And that's hard for me in this seat sometimes because I've seen it. We've had it here with a player here a few years ago that's no longer here that was wrongly accused. And it's frustrating. And everyone should, anyone that's met Maxwell Harrison genuinely knows what a great young man he is.
Brandon, I know it's only day one of training camp. The season hasn't started yet, but is this franchise, as much success as you've had, the one thing that's been hanging over the franchise is you can't get to that ultimate game. I know it's day one, but I mean, how better suited is this team, do you think, to overcome that hump and get through?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've said it before, John. Ultimately, you got to go out and do it. You do. But every time you get knocked down, like, we have a group of competitive dudes, and I'm talking about Sean McDermott, Joe Brady, Bobby Babich, Josh Allen, Terrell Bernard, like, Ed Oliver. You go down the list of the players that have been here through the some of these painful moments, and you know, I'm a firm believer that you keep swinging the sword, you keep fighting, you do not give in, you work harder. Like, you use that frustration. And I can tell you, of course Josh Allen was happy to win the MVP. Who wouldn't be? But he would trade that all day, every day, to hoist that Lombardi. And, you know, he's the tip of the spear for us, and we believe in that. His teammates believe in that. And we believe in this coaching staff, and we believe in our organization and the plan. And I sat in, you know, some of the initial meetings yesterday with Sean, and I thought, you know, his message, Terry Pegula had a great message, Sean had a great message, and, you know, now it's just a matter of this is a new team. We got to form that bond. That's why we love coming up here, get away, eliminate distractions here for 2.5 weeks, and then take it home, finish the preseason out, pare it down to 53, and kind of start that journey.
What did it do for Dalton Kincaid to spend much of his offseason in Orchard Park with
him? Yeah, I mean, he exactly exemplifies what I was just talking about our team. Like, Dalton had a really, you know, really strong finish to his rookie year, and then last year was sailing along, has the injury, plays through it, doesn't want to complain about it. You know, maybe people question, you know, what's his talent level or things like that. They don't understand the toughness that he fought through. And, you know, the ball that landed on the turf in Kansas City, like, I mean, that eats it. He's a competitor. And the thing about Dalton is he wants that opportunity again. And no one in this building doubts, no one's going to not try and give him that opportunity again, starting with Joe Brady, starting with Josh Allen. Like, he's going to get his opportunities. We need Dalton Kincaid to go where we're trying to go, and exciting. It was exciting to see his work ethic this offseason and what he did, even when we broke for the summer. Like, he, for the most part, still hung around. And I'm excited for him. He's getting better and better, and I think he'll be ready to roll once it's time to get going.
Brandon, I asked Josh about having all 10 offensive linemen back from last year, main guys, which is pretty rare. But if you extrapolate that out, the offense, pretty rare having very few guys gone. I think Amari and Mack are really the only ones who left the roster. How does that happen from your seat? Because it's got to be pretty rare that you've seen as well to have that many guys and that few changeover on that side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, you want continuity the best you can. It's hard in this business. I don't know if we've had this is my 28th season in the league starting. I don't know that I've been on a team that's had that many returning O-line. Let's just start there. I don't even know how many times we had all the same backs back, you know, I mean, all the way down to Darrington Evans and Frank Gore, like literally all of them. You're right. It's, you know, we lost Quentin Morris and, you know, we drafted Jackson Halls and signed Latu. But yeah, you love continuity. It helps you get on the same, you know, the same page of music quicker, and I think that can help us, but we can't rest on our laurels. Like, we still have to find ways to get better. People are going to study us, watch what we do, and so that's the task of Joe Brady and his staff, is to come up with new wrinkles, new looks, new ways to attack the different teams that we're going to face.
How do you view what Trubisky is and, like, maybe some competition for that back?
Yeah, I mean, we got a lot of confidence in Mitch. We really do. I know, you know, the people maybe mentioned, well, you know, certain days Mike went with it. Like, we're trying to ultimately, we want as much competition as we can. We want to give as many people as many opportunities as we can. But at the same time, Mitch has been here two full seasons with us. If you go back to 2021, and if Josh went down in a game, we were very confident in him last year. If he went down now, we'd be very confident in Mitch. At the same time, we want to give, you know, Mike and Shane opportunities to show what they can do. And, you know, ultimately, like at every position, you know, the best man will hold that job. But we have a lot of confidence in Mitch.
Brandon, where do you stand right now on potential conversations with Connor McGovern for extension?
Yeah, I mean, like anything, we got multiple guys. We talked about James and love Connor. Similar comment to James. I would love for, you know, next year at this time, you know, for Connor McGovern to still be, you know, wearing the Bills uniform. And he did a great job year one in his transition to center for us. Obviously played guard before that. Josh has got a lot of confidence. Aaron Cromer and Joe. You know, I'll keep the business part, you know, in-house. But love Connor. Glad he's back for another year. And we'll see where that goes.
How have you seen Joe Brady evolve?
Joe is... you know, Joe is just, I don't know about evolve, but you just feel his confidence and his energy even more. I mean, Joe went through a tough deal in Carolina. You know, Joe was the hot name coming out of LSU. Carolina hires him, and things didn't work out there well. And I'm sure he would take ownership in his role in that. I don't think it was all on Joe by any means. But it was fun to get Joe in here, and I'd heard good things about him from the people I knew in Carolina when we, you know, brought him here to be our QB coach. And I just think he, you know, it's another year. It's, you know, the more years you go through these things, you develop battle scars and you learn. And I would like to think, you guys may disagree, but I would like to think, you know, I know more now than I knew in 2017, 2018. You just learn from some of your, I call it laps around the track, and you can't expedite it. And so I see a confident yet hungry guy like, you know, Joe wants to win that title too. And, you know, the thing about Joe that is very hard is when you make the playoffs, you know, he had people calling his name, and that can be a distraction. And Joe was, I mean, if you're a fan here, you would love Joe Brady, how he handles it. Like, he is not, like, putting things off. He's not holding up a staff meeting. He's not waiting to draw up plays for, you know, that Ravens playoff game or the Chiefs. Like, he is all in on the Buffalo Bills, to the point when he was the quarterback coach, like, he turned down interviews for an OC because we were still playing. He is dialed in for the Buffalo Bills, and I've seen people not handle it as well in my time, and it's hard. I don't blame him, but I think he's got a unique approach with the guys. He kind of walks around and, you know, he's got this swagger to him. He'll have his headphones on sometimes, but he also knows when to get firm. And I think that's some of what makes good coaches, is guys who know when to kid. And, you know, he's still doing what Matt Collins did, walking around here barefooted. And you know, players love that. Like, he's a part of them, but he also knows when to put his thumb down and say, hey, that wasn't good enough. And so it's been fun to watch his maturation.
Brandon, the continuity that is mentioned on the offensive side of the ball, obviously defensively is much different. When you're integrating, you know, so many players from your draft class and free agents onto that side of the ball, what are the keys in seeing that come together in time for the first month of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's time on task. You hope that, you know, you can stay healthy. You know, guys that, you know, missing reps together. And it's not just their reps. It's their reps. This is a true team game, 11 on 11. It's not tennis, golf. So not only are they missing their reps, they're missing their reps next to their teammate. And it can be, sometimes it can be just those simple nuances. You don't even have to say anything. You can just give your teammate the look or whatever signal it is. So it's really just time on task, going through some things. There's going to be some ups and downs. But hopefully we work through those here through the preseason, and, you know, it's on us to pick the right group to make this roster. I think there's going to be a lot of competition at some of those spots, which is fun. It's fun, and but it just takes time.